Homodeus, A Brief History of Tomorrow, The Truth About War. The formula knowledge equals experiences time sensitivity has changed not just our popular culture, but even our perception of weighty issues like war. Throughout most of history, when people wished to know whether a particular war was just, they asked God, they asked scriptures, and they asked kings, noblemen, and priests. Few cared about the opinions and experiences of a common soldier or an ordinary civilian. War narratives such as those of Homer, Virgil, and Shakespeare focused on the actions of emperors, generals, and outstanding heroes, and though they did not hide the misery of war, this was more than compensated for by a full menu of glory and heroism. Ordinary soldiers appeared as either piles of bodies slaughtered by some Goliath, or a cheering crowd hoisting a triumphant David upon its shoulders. Look, for example, at the painting of the Battle of Breitenfeld, which took place on 17th of September 1631. The painter, Jean-Jacques Walter, glorifies King Gustav Adolf of Sweden, who led his army that day to decisive victory. Gustav Adolf towers over the battlefield as if he were some god of war. One gets the impression that the king controls the battle like a chess player moving pawns. The pawns themselves are mostly generic figures or tiny dots in the background. Walter was not interested in how they felt while they charged, fled, killed, or died. They are a faceless collective. Even when painters focused on the battle itself rather than on the commander, they still looked at it from above, and were far more concerned with collective maneuvers than with personal feelings. Take, for example, Peter Snayer's painting of the Battle of Wittmeinten in November 1620. The painting depicts a celebrated Catholic victory in the 30 Years' War over heretical Protestant rebels. Snayer's wish to commemorate this victory by painstakingly recording the various formations, maneuvers, and troop movements. You can easily tell the different units, their armament, and their place within the order of battle. Snayer's gave far less attention to the experiences and feelings of the common soldiers. Like Jean-Jacques Walter, he makes us observe the battle from the Olympian vantage point of gods and kings, and gives us the impression that war is a giant chess game. If you take a closer look, for which you might need a magnifying glass, you'll realize that the Battle of White Mountain is a bit more complex than a chess game. What at first sight seem to be geometrical abstractions turn upon closer inspection into bloody scenes of carnage. Here and there you can even spot the faces of individual soldiers running or fleeing, firing their guns or impaling an enemy on their pikes. However, these scenes receive their meaning from their place within the overall picture. When we see a cannonball smashing a soldier to bits, we understand it as part of the great Catholic victory. If the soldier is fighting on the Protestant side, his death is a just reward for rebellion and heresy. If the soldier is fighting in the Catholic army, his death is a noble sacrifice for a worthy cause. If we look up, we can see angels hovering high above the battlefield. They are holding a billboard which explains in Latin what happened in this battle and why it was so important. The message is that God helped Emperor Ferdinand II defeat his enemies on 8th of November 1620. For thousands of years, when people looked at war, they saw gods, emperors, generals, and great heroes. But over the last two centuries, the kings and generals have been increasingly pushed to the side, and the limelight shifted onto the common soldier and his experiences. War novels such as All Quiet on the Western Front and war films such as Platoon begin with a young and naive recruit who knows little about himself and the world but carries a heavy burden of hopes and illusions. He believes that war is glorious, our cause is just, and the general is a genius. A few weeks of real war, of mud and blood, and the smell of death shatter his illusions one after another. If he survives, the naive recruit will leave war as a much wiser man, who no longer believes the clichés and ideals peddled by teachers, filmmakers, and eloquent politicians. Paradoxically, this narrative has become so influential that today it is told over and over again, even by teachers, filmmakers, and eloquent politicians. War is not what you see in the movies, war in Hollywood blockbusters, such as Apocalypse Now, Full Metal Jacket, and Black Hawk Down. Enshrined in celluloid, prose or poetry, the feelings of the ordinary grunt have become the ultimate authority on war, which everyone has learned to respect. As the joke goes, how many Vietnam vets does it take to change a light bulb? you would not know you were not there. Painters, too, have lost interest in generals on horses and in tactical maneuvers. Instead, they strive to depict how the common soldier feels. Look again at the Battle of Breitenfeld and the Battle of White Mountain. Now look at the following pictures, considered masterpieces of 20th century war art. The War, Der Krieg by Otto Dix, and That 2,000-Yard Stare by Tom Lee. Dix served as a surgeon in the German army during the First World War. Lee covered the Battle of Peleliu Island in 1944 for Life magazine. Whereas Walter and Snegers viewed war as a military and political phenomenon and wanted us to know what happened in particular battles, Dix and Lee view war as an emotional phenomenon and want us to know how it feels. They don't care about the genius of generals or about the tactical battle details of this and that battle. Dix's soldier might be in Verdun or Ypres or the Somme. It does not matter which, because war is hell everywhere. Lee's soldier just happens to be an American GI in Peleliu, but you could see exactly the same 2,000-yard stare on that face of a Japanese soldier in Iwo Jima, a German soldier in Stalingrad, or a British soldier in Dunkirk. In the paintings of Dix and Lee, the meaning of war does not emanate from tactical movements or divine proclamations. If you want to understand war, do not look up at the general on the hilltop or at angels in the sky. Instead, look straight into the eyes of the common soldiers. In Lee's painting, the gaping eyes of a traumatized soldier open a window onto the terrible truth of war. In Dix's painting, the truth is so unbearable that it must be partly concealed behind a gas mask. No angels fly above the battlefield, only a rotting corpse hanging from a ruined rafter and pointing an accusing finger. Artists such as Dix and Lee thus overturned the traditional hierarchy of war. In earlier times, wars could have been as horrific as in the 20th century. However, even atrocious experiences were placed within a wider context that gave them positive meaning. War might be hell, but it was also the gateway to heaven. A Catholic soldier fighting at the Battle of White Mountain could say to himself, "True, I am suffering, but the Pope and the Emperor say that we are fighting for a good cause, so my suffering is meaningful." Otto Dix employed an opposite kind of logic. He saw personal experience as the source of all meaning, hence his line of thinking said, "I am suffering and this is bad, hence the whole war is bad, and if the Kaiser and the clergy nevertheless support the war, they must be mistaken." That's it for today. I create a lot of content, I run a debating podcast, I write stories, I film videos with a drone, and I run many other projects too. If you'd like to stay informed of things I do, sign up to my private newsletter, it's free. Head to bit.ly/newslettersebastian, all attached and in lowercase. Thank you for listening.